our neighbors seem all very excited. Very excited. They look just so happy to be here. As members know, we're sitting for 2 days, today and tomorrow. And we'll start with just going through the amendments of the Nemla Second. I hope this will be more or less the last time. What I intend to do is, after we've gone through whatever amendments we have today, expect parties to go back and do their consultations and so on, to get a mandate so that we can, when we come back, hopefully finalize and adopt the amendment. I think we've been going on for a while now, so we'll have at least 2 or 3 weeks before we come back. So that's the first thing, and then secondly, we're of course going to deal with the budget vote of water affairs, which is usually a long process. They have quite a complicated budget process. What I did think is to suggest, and I would let members consider this, that we adjourn tomorrow at lunchtime. It's a long weekend, and it will give people a chance to try and get earlier planes and so on. I know it's very tight on a Easter weekend. I'm sure you have planes, but if there's something like that, consider it. We'll see at the end of the day how you feel about it, or whether we want to push through. I just think for those members that don't stay in Cape Town, it's a long way home, and struggle on the east. So let's consider finishing tomorrow at lunch, okay? Now, I'm very happy to announce this morning that we have a new member in our midst, Mr. Francois Rogers from the DA has joined us in the place of Gareth Morgan. I understand he's from KZN, I think. So he comes from where Mr. Morgan comes, so there will be continuity and same thought process from that part of the country. But Mr. Rogers is very, very welcome. You'll find that this committee has a strong work ethic, but also a relaxed and a cordial and collegial atmosphere in which we conduct our meetings while we still do our work. I mean, we don't expect people not to do their jobs, but we do it usually in an amicable way. So I do trust that you'll enjoy your stay with us. Once you find your feet, if you want to discuss any matters with me, please feel free to do so. I'm always available to listen. Any suggestions also you may have, of course, are always either here in the meetings, or if you want to chat to me about it personally, that's fine. So I really hope you enjoy your stay with us while we're here. I think that's about all the announcements. Where's the corrected program? Got it. Yeah. We still have this guy given the last one. All right. And then you do know that we start again on, if we adjourn tomorrow, we start again on the 16th of April to continue with these budget vote hearings. And depending on, and then we'll have 2 days for water board on the 17th and 18th, and if we adjourn early tomorrow and we need a bit more time, then I'll find time somewhere in the next week after that to make up for the what we haven't finished with. But we will make sure we go through all the issues and so on. And then the rest of the program you have, although there are one or two further changes again as we've gone along, but I'll let you have those. It's the basic program, but there are a few little changes further in April and May. Okay, now let's start with the bill. NEMLA Second Amendment Bill. I see Mr. Wills and Advocate Garlop are here to take us through the amendments. Just trying, to find my previous copy so I can see what this is done. Okay, it should be that all the things that we've accepted should be now part of the body of the bill. And the yellow is the amendments that we got since the last, since our last discussion. Now the first one you've added here, explain to us, Mr. Wolf, what is this first yellow? Oh, that's that guideline story. Those new flexible guidelines that the minister wants to be able to do where people actually have their own environmental plans outside the Act. This will give some legal basis for it. You're just putting it in a long title. It wasn't there previously.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Anyone have any comments, any discussion about that? To provide guidelines on the development, content and use of voluntary organization and sector-based instruments and the consideration and endorsement thereof. Seems to be quite straightforward.
Chair, just to be more accurate, if you refer to this, the 23A section, it, instead of and, it should read all.
Where?
Voluntary organization or sector-based instruments, not and.
This is the section 23A.
That's correct.
I made a note here, add 23A, so you've added it. So I can take away my note. Is that right?
Oh, I see.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, let's just see all the other stuff over there.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? So under the long title, just the and will change to all there. Anything else under the long title that anyone wants to raise? Nope. Okay.
Chair, if Linda can just talk to the other piece of yellow, which is undertaking or conducting a waste.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Garlop?
Thank you, Chair. What I've also done in the bill is I've done some consequential amendments just to be consistent. The wording commencement, undertaking or conducting of a waste management is just added as consistent wording of what is used elsewhere in the text.
Any problems with that? Any just consequential changes? All right, so, and there are no further comments under the long title. Okay. And you've gone through the whole bill to make sure all the new stuff we've put in is in the long title now. You're happy with that? Okay. All right, then the definition clause. I suddenly see there's new definitions there. What on earth is going on?
Chairperson, because the department sort of intend to list maybe I should just take a step back. In the environmental, the National Environmental Management Act, activity is defined as it can also be a plan or a program, and the commence definition in the National Environmental Management did not talk to that. And because the department actually intend in future to list the plan as a listed activity, the definition of commence was not wide enough. And for that reason, it's in a sense also a consequential amendment, but we just want to add all the implementation of a plan, policy, program or process to also make provision for the commencement of such a plan, policy, program, or process. Previously,
so it's not the whole. This is already a definition. You're just amending it to bring it in line. You see, you don't act consequentially. You see, in Under the long title where you put to provide the guidelines, that should all be underlined because that's new. If you follow your own procedures, you know what I mean. So that's why I don't fully always understand. Because now here, it's not all the yellow, it's just the top part there. All the implementation of a plan, policy, program or process. That's the only part that's amended. Is that right?
Yes.
Just the underlined part. Okay. That's okay. All right. We'll get it right one day. Let's go on. Anyone have an issue or a problem with that? Seems to be clear. The only thing you say, activity is defined, eh?
That's correct. In the national environment.
There's confusion when you say means the start of any physical activity. Because won't that activity then fall, the activity part of it then fall under the definition? Well, how's activity defined?
Well, Chair, I think we need to look at the practicality on the ground. An activity is defined in the Act when used in Chapter 5. And the Act says, when used in Chapter 5 means policies, programs, processes, plans, and projects. But in that context, when used in Chapter 5, it refers to the listed activities. But the commencement of a development that is contains both listed and unlisted activities is still commencement.
So the activity part will only apply to Chapter 5.
To what's
it
listed.
Won't apply to the definition clause that you're saying.
Correct. So you may have a bigger development like a mine, for an example. And in terms of the Environmental Management Act, the road is a listed activity, and the tanks for the fuel, but not the hole in the ground is not a listed activity in terms of the that is an activity in terms of the MPRDA. So it's really just referring to the commencement of the whole development rather than just parts of the development. It's in your pack, Chair. If you look at the we put three documents in the pack.
Oh, okay.
The next document, document number 3,
okay,
is the whole Act, and the amendments in terms of this Amendment Act are in blue, and the amendments in yellow.
Oh. And yellow is the overall.
It's the old. It's the old.
It's all the other ones that
ones.
We've already accepted.
Yeah.
All right. So the second document in your pack is that the whole Act that they took and then added all these amendments into it. The yellow amendments are the ones that we've like already processed. The blue ones are the new ones we're looking at now. So this may change again, but this will help you to read those amendments in the context of the Act. Okay. Activities when used in Chapter 5 means policies, programs, process, plans, and projects.
And then in Chapter 5 we list activities.
Why don't we say you've listed in Chapter 5 the activities?
That's correct. Those at the moment.
So why don't we then just say means the activities as listed in whatever? Is it in a schedule? Listed in a schedule? Or a
no, it's in terms of a listing notice. So in terms of Section 24, you can list, and the minister may, or the MEC may in the notice list
so
or delist.
I'm actually not sure why we don't then have that definition different. See, because if you say it means policies, program, processes, plans, and projects, then it can mean all policies, programs, processes, plans, and projects in Chapter 5. Now, if it's clear that it's all that you want it to mean is those that you've listed, then you should say it means those that are listed in the notice.
Well, in reality, in practice, that's how it's actually evolved.
No, I can understand that, but I'm saying if you read just the definition, it actually will mean something else.
Well,
it means everything.
Correct.
It means every policy, program, process, plan, and project in the whole of Chapter 5, not just the notice.
Correct.
So I think you guys can just have a look at that and see if it's not going to be more accurate and not create further confusion under this commencement clause.
Okay.
If we actually define it not as an open-ended thing in Chapter 5, but something specific. But you guys must go and see if that now covers everything you want to cover.
We'll check that, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
So, right, so that's a possibility there. Let's see. Check definition of activity. And then it will be safer. I suppose legally it is safer, but it's for ordinary people and lay people can start creating confusion with the activity. So I think if we create the activity more clear, then we know that. The other possibility you can look at, but you don't have to follow Advocate Garlop, is whether you exclude that definition of activity under commencement. Then you'd be 100% sure that there can't be confusion. Okay? That's another way of doing it. So you list it as those notices, then it'll be clearer. But if we really want brace and straps and bootstraps to pull it up, then we can actually exclude the word activity from the commencement, because that's not what we wanted. Oh, you do want it actually to mean that.
Yeah, Chair, the reality is...
Then you must change the definition of activity. It can't then have the same words, policy, plans.
Well, Chair, I think the challenge that we face, and it's one of the reasons why the committee is looking at these amendments, is that at the moment the listed activities only refer to those for which an environmental impact assessment is applicable. And the objective, or one of the objectives of this exercise, is to expand that set of tools, if you want, that we can use. So we can use a strategic environmental assessment or a risk assessment where those tools are appropriate for issuing of an environment authorization.
I'm not squaring at all the thinking behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with the thinking.
Okay.
I'm thinking of the technical legal side of it.
Yeah, we'll
see.
We'll,
the problem is, if you've got the word activity here, okay, like you've got on the second line of commencement, and you want to include activity in here as well, so you want to include activity under commencement, and you use the word activity in that word itself, you can see where the confusion can come in. So what we need to do is make that clear, activity definition clear, and maybe here, where we're referring to that definition of activity, to actually use it in here and not let it be dependent on the words, plan, policy, you know what I mean? So that's the kind of clarity I want. So it's not the thinking of yours that's the issue, it's the legal technical side of it, okay, that we need to look at. So they'll look at that and see. So we'll have to have a discussion there again, even if we're going to start trying to finalize it last time, but then we'll come with whatever the clarity is. It doesn't make a difference to the principles. You can still discuss that. It's the technical side of it, the legal side of it, okay? Anyone want to comment on these issues? Are you happy with the way we've got it now? They'll just clean it up and make sure there are no contradictions or possible. Always bearing in mind that it's laypersons reading this, not necessarily us that understand or the practitioners. Someone else has to read this and implement it, so we need to get that clarity. Okay. All right, and then that'll be cleared up. And then you've taken the word and added the word or review in the definition of environmental assessment practitioners. So that's just technically widening the scope. Everyone happy with that? Any comments? Okay, that seems no problem. This is a technical amendment. I just want to follow my notes here. I didn't miss something. Okay, there's nothing there. Section 2. Nothing in section two, nothing in section two of my notes. Section three, small little technical amendment there. All right, remember we accepted that last time. Everyone happy with their addition of the words evaluation and adoption? Just broadens the scope of what the minister may prescribe. That has to be included in the outlook report. Okay, no problem with that. And then the section 23A is a new section. The heading was comprehensive environmental management. They're now making it mainstreaming environmental management. So comprehensive is replaced, mainstreaming replaces comprehensive. Let's come back to the heading because we'll first see what's in the body before we know whether that's a good substitution. Then, is there anything that's been added since last time? Oh yes, a lot's been added.
Yes, Chair. What we tried to do here is to, if you recall the discussion at the at the previous committee, It was clear that there was some confusion around comprehensive environmental management in that the whole chapter, in fact, deals with an integrated, comprehensive, holistic approach and not just this section. So what we tried to do is to provide some clarity on what this section actually enables the minister to do. The section 23 itself provides the objectives for integrated comprehensive environmental management. And section 24 talks to authorizations, environmental authorizations. And what was missing here was the reality that other sector departments and other sectors of the economy are in fact integrating their environmental considerations into their normal management practices. And what this empowers the minister to do is to promote that process of mainstreaming or integration in other sectors. And in this context, we then try to state exactly that in the chapeau, which says, with a view to promote or facilitated, integrated, environmentally sustainable and sound management, the minister may. And then in A, we talk to the development of guidelines on, and we just wanted to be clear on the content and use of those voluntary instruments. And then be clear that those instruments apply at both an organization level, so a company like Eskom or Sasol or any manufacturing company. You can do it either at company level or you could do it for the whole sector. So it could be the the energy sector, the industrial manufacturing sector, and so on. And those instruments would do what? And then we tried to break down in particular the integration of considerations into their decision-making process, best environmental practice, the progressive or the adoption of environmentally sound technology, and instruments that promote sustainability.
Is the all right?
Sorry?
Is the all right?
Maybe.
So,
I think the all
would achieve any of those four.
Correct. And
if it could one of them, it's fine.
I think so. I think it's fine. So, for an example, the sustainable consumption and production instruments could be the eco-labeling kind of instrument, which you wouldn't want to necessarily link to a shop floor management practice, environmental management practice.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Each one of them can stand on their own, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
If they couldn't stand on their own, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so the or is there, And then she considers and then she approves.
Endorse or approve. She doesn't.
The only thing that struck me when I looked at this is that, this is much better, by the way. I think this is what we were asking for. The only thing that strikes me here now is, what happens if she seems broadly happy with the plan, but she would like, there's certain things that she's not happy in it. This doesn't give her a chance to engage before she approves. Maybe we should just put in a, between B and C, put in a clause there to say that in the event of the minister broadly being happy with it, or maybe not, maybe she's completely unhappy. What happens if she's completely unhappy? Shouldn't we then give her the scope to actually say what she doesn't agree with in the plan?
Well, perhaps,
so this is all assuming that she adopts it, but what happens if she doesn't adopt it?
Yeah. Perhaps, Chair, we need to add in, at the end of C, the words where appropriate. So.
Yeah, but even then, I think you must give scope for her to ask to say, look, I'm happy with it, more or less, but this I'm not happy with. So maybe you just put in something to say, in the event of the minister not being satisfied with some aspect of the plan or whatever it's called, that she can bring this to the attention of the... Because she can't... I mean, this is all voluntary, so all that she can do is bring it to their attention. So you just create a space there for some interaction, not just to accept or reject. Okay? And where she, and you can maybe say where she does not agree with what they're doing and so on, she may indicate to them, make it a may, it's not obligatory, what it is that she finds reprehensible. Don't use those words, but create scope. Then I think that gives a nice flexible. Anyone have any further comment with that? Are you happy with that? Happy? All right, Mr. Wills, that's fine. I think that'll just give it a bit more flexibility. All right. Everyone happy then with clause 4? Clause 5? The word paragraphs is added there, which I don't think anyone can die for. Pursue a paragraph that are in subsection 4, the following paragraphs. Let's see what we had last time. Oh, we already had 4 of these, so these are just further adjustments. Maybe you want to explain it, Mr. Wills or Advocate Garland?
Thank you, Chair. If you recall, Chair, these are the 3 clauses that provides the minister or the MEC with the flexibility to exclude certain developments from the requirement to obtain an authorization. And in the previous text that we had, the text in E talked to the exclusion from the requirement to obtain or excluded from the environmental authorization. And what this is just a consequential amendment of all 3 clauses to be very clear that that in implementing these 3 subparagraphs, the minister or MEC may exclude that activity or geographical area from the requirement to obtain an environmental authorization based on the three things, the spatial tools, the norm and standard. C is spatial tools, the norm and standard is D, and E is another environmental management instrument. So this gives the minister and the MEC the flexibility to decide that if there's another environmental management instrument, this particular development application does not need to go through the standard EIA procedure as is currently, based on a evidence-based instrument, spatial tool, Norman standard, or environmental management instrument.
I see there's one change you've made. You've taken out, in C, you've taken out the words with or without conditions.
Yes, can I explain that one?
Then we, in E, propose that we should add with or without conditions, but you've now taken out both.
Correct.
If
you refer to on page 11, what we've done is we've inserted a B, small b, capital B, after small b, capital A, where we talk about laying down the procedure for the preparation, evaluation, and adoption of these instruments referred to in 2 C, D, and E, including criteria and conditions to be included in those instruments. So the conditions, with or without conditions, would in actual fact be incorporated.
Maybe criteria and or.
Or maybe all conditions. Maybe it should be all.
Because when you say all, you can do both.
Yes, correct. Maybe
whereas
it should be all.
If you say criteria and conditions, it means both have to be
existent. Yes.
Okay. So that's why you didn't put it there now. You've got a separate clause for it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, in actual fact, we've got a clause where we talk about, well, what's the procedure so that the minister may exclude them, a particular application from the requirement to obtain an authorization, but then there's no provision later on the procedure for which on which they will do that. So we thought that it would be better to include the conditions and criteria in the instrument or the evidence base upon which the minister or the MEC is excluding.
All right, any comments? Are you happy with that? Seems to capture what we had last time. It's just fine-tuned a little bit, and then it's created this separate clause which provides a procedure then and allows for conditions and criteria of those clauses. So it seems more all-encompassing. The only thing is I have a clause here, I have a note here on the previous draft, add amendment to heading. What does that mean? Why did I write that? This is the advantage of having you here, then I can ask you why did I write that. What is the heading of this clause? Ms. Gollum, help me.
Well, I think this 24, section 24 itself, is the heading is environmental authorizations, and I think the amendment to the heading was supposed to have come to 23A. So remember, my recollection of the discussion was that when we were talking about the comprehensive environmental management versus integrated environmental management versus that lack of clarity between what 23A was doing and what 24 was doing needed to be clarified. So we focused on 23A to focus on that clarity of what 23A was doing, which was different from 24.
Okay. Well, I can't make out the sense why I've got it here, so not much I can offer. A2A just made two little changes there of this, and we've added the words the protection of the environment, the conservation of resources, or sustainable developments.
Yes, Chair, I think this issue, if you recall, we had the in accordance with the risk-averse and cautious approach right at the end of the text. And what we did is that we thought that this principle-based approach in terms of the principles outlined in Section 247 of the Act needed to be reflected right up front of the whole clause. So we just shifted the order of the wording in order to make it applicable to the whole and not just applicable to parts of the clause. So that is the major change that we've made after the discussion that we had at the last committee meeting.
Yes, I now recall that. That looks much better. And then B, I had a shell. That's already there. Okay, so that's the shell. That's there. And then the rest of the clause remains the same. Comments on those? We just added the approach in the first clause and then made little technical amendments. Everyone happy with that? Comments? Ms. Ferguson?
Okay. Just a comment, a technical comment. Just going back to B on page 9. We had taken the S out of ministers. It was the minister or the MS in concurrence or concurrence with the minister. We've taken it out before. But otherwise, everything else is fine.
Which one, sorry?
In B, if we just go back one paragraph on page 9, the third line down, the manner by the minister or the MEC in concurrence with the minister, not ministers. We had taken the S out before. And I just see it's just a technical thing. May be excluded from the requirement to obtain.
Yeah? Mr. Will?
Yeah, I think Ms. Ferguson is correct. This is an oversight which we hadn't captured. Thanks.
Is that in B? Huh?
Yeah, in E. It's B of B and E. If you look at B. Second to last line of that.
Ministers, okay. Sorry. I was like really doff. I couldn't understand what we're talking about. All right, of course. Yeah. That's well picked up. S off there. Actually, there was a little. On the top of page 8, you'll see there's no spacing between your promote and your or, right? Okay, so that is that. So that's the first. Then we've got this new inclusion on page 11, which we've already dealt with and changed the and to or. Any further comment on that? No. Then the E, below that E, was there previously. It's an addition that was added previously. Where is that? There were some changes I had there. Now, you haven't marked it like that, but the ODD at the end is an addition. Previously, you ended at CC. You've added the OR. So ODD is added there. That should have been in yellow, okay? Everyone happy with that? Technical? Okay. Code 6. Okay, here's now the more complicated stuff. Firstly, you've refused to put in that stuff I asked you to put in. I see. Probably going to refuse to give any amendments as well. Firstly, in A, let me go away from my agitation. A is new. What is that?
Yeah, Chair, in this one I would recommend that we look at the act, the text in the act, so that we can just look at it in context. What we try to do is to take your concern into account. I think it's page 33 of the act. Of the act, the blue. So what we try to do is to provide clarity on. So we've inserted in the chapeau paragraph this concern that you had, unless otherwise agreed in terms of section 24C3. If you recall. The concern that you had was around taking power away from the MEC or with no flexibility for engagement.
24C3 is the minister and MEC may agree that applications for environmental with regard to any activity or project and compliance are made down to the MEC, in respect to which the MEC is identified as a common authority dealt with by the minister.
So the way in which we try to deal with that is to put it into the chapeau of 24C2.
I see you've amended. The Act says, in terms of subject one, subsection 1, I see in this new amendment you put subsection 2. Is that a correct amendment?
No, it must be subsection 1. Chair, that must be read subsection 1.
So what we're actually adding is the unless otherwise agreed to in terms of 24C3.
Yes, and make it applicable to the whole. If you remember, we were trying at the last meeting, the committee meeting, we were trying to put these requirements at the end or towards the end. So we thought that a more elegant way would be to put it in the chapeau of clause 2. And make that requirement or that provision for engagement between the minister and the MEC applicable to the whole.
The minister must be identified as a competent authority in terms of subsection 1.
And then it says if the activity has implications for international commitments.
Oh, so the 3, actually they can change it by agreement.
By agreement, correct.
So that's there, okay. And then if it's not there, then we've got all this other stuff. Now, this other stuff, you made the big amendment. You were going to take all this out, but you've now only taken one thing out, didn't you?
That's correct, for Isimangaliso.
The coastline.
Yeah. It's the Isimangaliso.
And you're saying other than. I now thought you put the new word excluding. Have you gone back to other than? Your previous amendment, you took out other than, you put excluding.
Yeah, I think that based on your recommendation, we went back to other than.
No, my recommendation is the one that I said you didn't do, and you deliberately undermined me, and it's got nothing to do with the other and. It was the, at the end said, which falls within the area protected by an EIE, EIEI. I wanted the end, and you guys argued that that's a duplication. Not the excluding. Excluding or other than, I think it doesn't matter one way or the other.
But basically what this now reads is that the minister will be the competent authority except for where the areas of conservancy, a protected natural environment, a placaim, and so
you've
on.
You've added the first one. It is identified by the minister by notice in the Gazette. That's new.
Correct.
That wasn't there last time.
Yeah.
So this is not underlined. So underline that. That's new that we need to discuss. So as implications for and where, it is identified by the minister by notice in the Gazette. So you're saying where the minister by notice says, I'm going to be the competent authority.
Correct.
Then that is the first thing. And then there's an or. It's an activity that takes place in an area protected by means of an environment other than. I suppose you don't really need Roman 1 because you've got this, you've got sub 2.
Yes, what we did is we took the previous A and B and combined it into one in order to create clarity.
Oh, A and B you've combined. Oh, I see. Okay.
So what we did is we inserted the provision for the minister to identify it by notice in the Gazette, and then we combined the previous text, which in the Act was A and B. So we delete B and combine it with the previous A. So if you see on page 13, it says by the deletion of paragraph B of subsection 2.
You see where?
So on page 13, what we've done is we've combined the previous A and B. We've inserted the A previously
said has implications for international environmental commitments or relations. And then the B used to deal with the instrument, is it?
Yes, correct.
And so you say you now combine them.
Yes,
it now reads okay.
Has implications for international commitments or relations and where.
Okay, nice.
And where it's identified by the minister, by notice in the Gazette. It is an activity which takes place in an area protected by international instruments other than. And then the other than then says the MEC will continue to be the competent authority in this list of activities.
Okay, there you said you delete B, and then A you've now created. She's not used. What is those words there? It's an activity that takes place by means of international environmental instrument.
Which is the World Heritage, to a large extent, is the World Heritage Conventions. Like Isimanga, Liso, Frederfoot Dome, Cradle of Humankind, Mapungubwe.
Maybe we should add, maybe as you've combined the two, maybe we shouldn't lose the part as implication for that, including. Including an area protected by means of an international instrument. I know you've got that down there. So if it's the, okay, now I'm starting to understand. So if it's the international environment commitments or relations, then the minister in notice can say that she's a competent authority. Then there's an or, if it's an activity in an area protected by means of an environmental instrument, then it's other than that.
Yeah, it's like the Ramsar Convention for Wetlands, the World Heritage Convention, for Mapungubwe and Cradle of Humankind and so on. So there are international instruments which list areas which are not necessarily national parks.
The minister must be identified as a competent authority in terms of subsection 1 unless otherwise agreed to in terms of section 7. If the activity has indications for international environmental commitment and where it's identified by the minister, or it's an activity that takes place in an area protected by means of an international environmental instrument other than a conservancy. Alright. Well, now I read better, so you don't need that part that I wanted there. You read all of it. Okay, any comments there? What they've done is they've combined A and B, they've kept the principles all the same, but because both A and B dealt with international issues, and B was a specific part of international, they've just combined it, kept it the same that the minister will say whether she, you know, it's a competent authority as she can do in terms of the act, and then the next part is the or, and if it's the instrument, it's that other than the ones that are listed there. Okay. That will mean that what it is now is that a place like Ishimangaliso with its coast will now be excluded and the minister will remain the competent authority. And the way it read previously under the coastline, it was meant the minister wasn't the competent authority, which was clearly problematic. Okay. And then that part of the seashore has now been put somewhere else on its own as a generic clause and not a specific exception to this clause. Yeah, okay, we struggled a bit, or I struggled a bit there, but I think probably it's reading better now with that one amendment there, the two being a one. And then the A will be fine, the B will be fine, and then the C, which does the deletion of it, that'll be fine. Now let's, anyone have a comment on A, B, or C? Dr. Huang?
Sure, page 12 just says, it says in section 24 is the A, is the third line is for subsection 1 or subsection 2, because 33, page 33 is subsection 1, so it's not much to change your subsection 1.
Now they said it's wrong, they make it all,
okay,
it's a 1.
Okay,
yeah, that's right. Okay. No problem. All right, then we come to D, which is a new clause, and remember this is where they just had a clause which said, if Cabinet says it's a national priority, and we said, no, that's just, I mean, you could be taking away powers from a province, so it's not right just to have a single clause like that. So what they've done now, they're trying to elaborate on it a bit, so it's more got a bit more flesh on it. Now, before we get to the specifics, let me just ask this. I am correct to say that this clause will only apply where a competent authority other than the minister exists, doesn't it? Because if there's not a competent authority yet, then you can use other sections. You don't have to use this. This is where, like for example, the example you gave, renewable energy. So 10 provinces or 9 provinces are now all doing their own thing on renewable energy. They're making their own rules and regulations. They're hunting on like they want to. But what we want to say is in those instances where it's important for economic development or for uniformity and so on, you want to make the minister the competent authority. So where it will usually be the province, you would now want to make the minister. Now, I was wondering whether we shouldn't spell that out. We say, notwithstanding the provisions of 24C, shouldn't we say, in the event where the minister is not the competent authority, comma, the minister must be? Because then you're quite clearly showing that this is an instance where you're taking away that, or you're centralizing the power. So I think if we leave it open, it means you can do it for anything, which is wrong. I mean, I think the act, the integrity of the act is that there's already a mechanism how the competent authority is appointed. This is where you want to change the one. And where you could have used C, 3C, where there can be agreement. But what happens when there isn't an agreement? So that this mechanism will then. So I think we should understand the provisions of 24 say, in the event, and, not the standard, so, and in the event of the minister not being the competent authority, comma, the minister must be identified as the competent authority where a cabinet decision stipulates the minister must be the competent authority for activities related to a matter declared as a national priority or matters related to such national priority. Okay, that makes it much clearer now. Although I suppose you can take away some of those words. Say identified and appointed as the competent authority. Well, that makes sense. Then you can tag out the words must be the competent authority. The minister must be identified and appointed as the competent authority where the cabinet decision stipulates that the minister.
Now, Chair, we just thought we should be consistent with the Act in subsection 2, where it says the minister must be identified as the competent authority. So it was just really trying to be consequential.
Okay. Now let's, so we just add in the event. Then B. Remember now, there's a possibility that you can take away it. So we said, you can't just do it without anyone knowing. So what they've now provided for is a notice in the Government Gazette. 90. Now the problem is, I'm not sure that we can say 90 days. I think we must say approximately 90. Because you know with Cabinet that these meetings move, all kind of things happen. So I think we should say notice must be given in the Gazette approximately. So one can't, if it's 89 days, then this clause will say you haven't complied with the Act. If you say approximately 90 days, you're going to be at least in the ballpark. Prior to the Cabinet decision referred to, it takes effect. I'm not sure the word takes effect, because in the next set clause you provided for the date of the decision and coming into effect. So it must be prior to the Cabinet decision referred to in 1. Take out the takes effect. You can create a lot of problems like that. Notice must be given the Government approximately 9 days prior to the Cabinet decision referred to.
Well, Chair, we just didn't want to read that we would prejudge what decision. The way it reads, if you take its effect out, is that 90 days prior to the Cabinet even taking a decision, you would put a notice into the Government Gazette. We just wanted to...
See, the problem is in the next clause you'll see you've distinguished between the date of the decision and when the decision takes effect. You've distinguished between the two. Now it's going to be impossible for you to know what Cabinet, what's the C party, because Cabinet may change that date. So at least the closest you can get is to when the decision is going to be before before Kevin. But the taking effect, to try and work out what 90 days before taking effect is going to
see. I do understand the problem, because some cabinet decisions say with immediate effect.
And others can...
But in terms
and
of...
And the cabinet can say, I'm not happy, go and refer it back, back to cabinet.
But then it's not a decision.
So how would you say 90 days before? You're referring here to the decision in one.
Yeah, the decision...
So in one, it's the minister must be identified as where a cabinet decision stipulates. So that's the decision you're referring to. It's quite clear.
Correct.
Not a problem. You don't have to have the takes effect. Because obviously when it takes effect there is when the cabinet is decided under one. Notwithstanding that in the event...
But it can be read that you must put a notice 90 days before the cabinet even meets to take a decision. We're just trying to...
No, of course, but that's what it must mean. You're taking away powers from a province.
But
so you're now making by notice in the government that you say, I'm going to go to cabinet and ask cabinet to deal with this matter. So that if the provinces wanted to raise things with you and say, but did you think about this? Did you think about this? Did you think of the consequences?
Okay.
For a simple thing, for example. Let's say there's an established power. Let's not take renewable energy. There's an established power they exercise now. They have all the expertise, the competence, the staff to do so. Okay? And they're doing so on a daily basis. Now we come along and we say, we're going to take this away from you. We're going to give it to National. National never exercised that power. They've got no competence. They don't have the staff to deal with it, etc., etc. Now, in that instance, and that's why I don't know what's going to happen in these cases, in that instance they must say, but did you think about this? Who's going to actually exercise this power if you immediately take it away from you? Shouldn't you first create the capacity before you go, etc., etc.? So I think that is what the idea is. It is before you go to cabinet to take away that power.
Okay, but Chair, just...
Now, if it's cabinet's document is confidential, so what it will mean is no one will know what's going to happen. Cabinet comes with a decision, there's an announcement by whoever the GCIS head is, and says, cabinet has today decided that the following power will be a national competence. Just out of the blue, no one knows about it, no one has heard about it, out of the blue, whoops, today. So that is why we said we have to create the unusual procedure to say 3 months before, at least people must be given notice. And then what that for me means is, at least that gives some scope for people to raise with the department, say, but did you think about this, did you think about this, did you think about this? If we don't do that, we're just going to sit suddenly one day, boom. And remember what you guys did with this draft previously. You wanted to take all those powers away from the provinces. The first question we asked you is, do you have the capacity to actually perform all these powers that used to be performed by the province? And immediately you said, oh, well, okay, we didn't think about that. And that's exactly the type of thing you're trying to stop here. I have no doubt that cabinet is not going to do this easily. But when it does do it, there must at least be a process that we're all aware what's going on. So I think that's why it must, and that's why I'm saying approximately 90 days, or at least 90 days, whatever you want to put it, but put something there. Now, the sub 3, this is what the notice must contain. Now, I think the A part is a bit problematic. It says the decision taken, well, you don't know what the decision by cabinet will be. So it must be the decision to be taken by cabinet.
I think we just have to acknowledge there are two cabinet decisions that we're talking about here, and I think that's where the confusion is arising.
Okay.
The one decision is saying where cabinet declares this as a national priority. And I think that's the one that we're referring to here in A. And the second one is where cabinet then decides that the minister must become the competent authority
as it relates to this national priority. No, it's not like it. Look, this is the notice 90 days before cabinet. So cabinet hasn't taken any decisions.
Yeah, there are two, as I say, there's two decisions. One is the decision to declare renewable energy as a national priority.
There's only one decision. You're dealing here with the notice 90 days before that decision is taken. So there's only one decision, not two decisions. So that is why you say the decision to be taken by cabinet. You are going to ask cabinet, renewable energy should be a national competence. So that's what you put in the notice. So people know. You say, here's a notice 90 days before the cabinet decision. You say, we are going to go to cabinet in 90 days and we're going to ask that renewable energy is to be declared a national competence in terms of section 24CD, whatever. Okay? So that's what you say. So it's the decision to be taken. There's only one decision.
Yeah, maybe we should say to be considered then. Because
to be considered
instead of taken.
A decision or whatever you want to say. To be considered is fine, but to be taken is fine. I mean, cabinet doesn't have to take it. But the word as it is now, the decision taken, is definitely wrong. Then, the date of the decision again, you see, I think you can never say in a notice what date, because cabinet may not take it on that day, it may take it 10 weeks later. So you must say at least the approximate date of the decision. Then in C, you should say the proposed date on which the decision will come into effect. Because again, you may give a decision, in the notice you may say we want it to come in effect immediately or within 2 months on the decision of cabinet. But that may actually happen again 2-3 weeks later, so you wouldn't be able to. So the proposed date, which comes into effect, and the next is the proposed time frame for which the minister will be the competent authority. I'm not actually sure why we want that clause. I know it puts a limit on it, but I mean, can anyone ever predict? So, I mean, let's say renewable energy. I mean, why would you put a time frame on that? Because then when that time frame is over, then you have to go back to cabinet again for a new decision, because then the decision falls away. So I'm not sure why we would want D, but I've left it there for you to motivate that, so you can explain to me, do we really need D?
Well, I mean, if you take the renewable energy for an example, one of the problems that we have to deal with under the renewable energy program is the fact that the provinces are being overwhelmed by the number of applications. So it's not only about coordination, but it's also the fact that this is an urgent developmental need, but the capacities of the provinces.
What would the time frame help with this?
Well, the time frame would...
anticipating you're only going to do it for X amount of time.
Yeah, the time frame would be related to two issues. One would be that the volume of those applications would decline as time rolls out, because the renewable energy program is for 17.8 gigawatts of energy. And as those bidding processes close and the authorizations, so the volume would...
Okay.
So it would only be for...
Just put at the end, if applicable.
Or where appropriate, perhaps.
Or where appropriate. Okay. Now again, E has given me some problems. What is it we're going to spell out in the notice? What is it we want to explain then? And I'll tell you why I'm worried about this is in terms of legal challenge. If you don't get it completely right in the notice, and then later on, and then you said this is what it's going to be for, and then something else, and then someone clever lawyer somewhere then comes along and said, you said this in the notice. So I was just wondering why we would need something like that. You've already in A put what decision you want cabinet to take. So what would you, the activities, what's 24A?
Yeah, that's the list of activities where development may not commence without an environmental authorization,
so what
A and B.
What is that different from A then?
Chairperson, the challenge is that if you just say the decision is that the department will be the competent authority for renewable energy projects, that is one thing. But there are a number of listed activities associated with that. And you want to limit it. And that, I think that is what we try to capture on the E, is to say all the listed, for example, the clearing of the land, the building of a road, whatever. There are a number of listed activities associated with the renewable, and that is what we want to capture and also say in which area.
So basically, if A talks about renewable energy, then the minister would be the competent authority for the actual site for that wind tower, but not the competent authority for the road that would lead to the site or the clearing of the land on that site and so on and so forth. So we just wanted
But whether once the cabinet has declared the minister the competent authority, doesn't she have all those powers under A and B and so on? Because
not if it's about just the construction of the mast of the wind mast. And so the road would still be province, the clearing of the land would still be province, and so on and so forth. So we're just trying to say that when cabinet says that renewable energy is a national priority and requires coordination and the building of special capacity to deal with those applications, the minister must be the competent authority for that kind of whole program. So it's not only renewable energy, but it's within a geographic area would be the associated activities with that particular development project.
All right. Sounds a bit wrong to me, but I accept your expertise. What is the word for there in the second line? Is it correct there? The activities contemplate that or geographical area that 4B, 4O. Anybody out there?
Yeah, I'm trying to think because it's right. Maybe there should be a comma between 4O.
Should 4 be there? The activities contemplated in A, or geographical areas contemplated in B, or the circumstance under which
maybe it's a lead to 4.
And then F is any transitional arrangements that may be applicable to applications that are already.
Now this relates to the strategic infrastructure or the strategic integrated programs. Of the Department of Economic Development, and the reality is that many of those authorizations the provinces have already processed. So some of those, and in the Western Cape, for an example, some of those SIP projects, the provincial authority has already processed those.
No, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
But the problem is that those records
are already being processed.
Yeah, but those records of decisions have a shelf life. So it might be that the application for a particular port or has been processed by the provincial authorities 5 years ago, because the time frame is, for the authorization has elapsed due to various reasons in terms of financing and so on and so forth. So it's about keeping alive the work which has been done already.
That's right. It's just as long as it should be already being processed. Can't be already processed. I mean, you more importantly are the ones that are in the process of being processed, if you know what I mean. So you must either capture that they're already in the past or the present. So maybe being doesn't capture it, but you'll have to have the past and the present there. I mean, if you want to maintain the decisions taken, I mean, I think that decisions that have been taken in the past have been taken. You can't change that. All right, well, as long as you put their past and present, then I'll be happier. Whatever.
How about that already have been or are being?
Yeah. All right, members, I think this clause is now much stronger. There's one other thing I want to add here, but think about what it is you want to raise there. I think what we need to do is that when the cabinet then makes the decision, there must be a notice in the government gazette. At the end, you know, so that we now, there's a legal instrument to show that a decision has been taken. Otherwise, again, it's a cabinet decision, it's confidential, we don't know. So I think there must be another government gazette at the end, okay? All right, members, I've gone through this now carefully. Any things you want to add or subtract to it, or... I think it's a much better, I think the department's done really well. I didn't expect something this elaborate, but now that it's there, I think it's much better than it's there like that. Because of the consequences and the implications. So I think it's quite a good clause now. Okay? So they'll tighten that up and add this extra notice at the end and make it clearer where it has to. All right, then, page 14. There's a in accordance with, I think that was there last time.
Now, previously we had pursuant to, I think.
Oh, pursuant to, okay. Remember this clause, this is the one where a MSC doesn't perform their duties within the time frame. And then there was a suggestion to take away, well not to take away, but that the minister must then perform the MSC's power. Now, we didn't have a problem with that, but we thought that the Constitution very clearly gives the power to the provinces. So we have to create a clause then that is going to minimally impact upon the powers of an MSC, even where they're not performing their powers. So what we've created is a clause where if certain things are not happening, then there's a lot of steps that have to take place for it to happen. And we also link it to section 125(2)(b) of the Constitution. Remember, that's the clause with the unless provided otherwise in the Act. So that it's very clear to the courts how we've structured this power. Now, so it's in accordance with the section, whenever the MSC fails to take a decision on the application for environment within the time period prescribed by this Act, the applicant may apply to the minister to take the decision. The applicant must notify the MSC in writing of its intention to exercise the option in subsection 4 30 days prior to the exercising of such option. I'm just wondering the it's there, is it correct? Should it be his, her, or it's? Because you're now assuming that only inanimate.
Yeah, it could be a company. Yeah.
No, it's a company that then it's fine.
Yeah, but it could be an individual, right.
When it's a natural person. A natural person is not an it. So it must be a he, his, her, his, comma, her, comma, or its. You can have natural persons and
is
you can
have... Is it easier to put the intention?
Everyone knows about it, isn't it, in writing? Oh. The intention, yeah, that is probably better, that intention.
Makes it also gender neutral.
Yeah. Then the application contemplated this must contain all the documents submitted. Must at least contain, because there may be more documents. It only must at least contain all the documents submitted to the MSC in order to enable them to take a decision. Before taking a decision contemplated for, the minister must request the MSC to provide her or him.
To lead with her would provide a report.
Provide a report within a specified time period on the status and cause of delay in the application. Inform the applicant in the event that the MSC has complied with the result. What's that?
Well, Chair, sometimes the MEC has complied with and the delay is actually with the applicant and not the MEC.
Oh, okay.
But that still doesn't stop the applicant from complaining.
No, that's fine. That's good. That's something new you've added. Then assist the MEC in accordance with section 125.3. What's 125.3?
Yeah, we need to insert of the Constitution.
Now that's slightly important. Slightly important. Ms. Garland? Leave out of the Constitution. How? To fulfill his or her obligations under this Act, if such assistance is requested by the I'm not sure here if it's requested because here you're trying to force them to do something.
Okay, Chairperson. Section 125.3 reads as follows. A province act, the national government by legislation and other measures must assist provinces to develop the administrative capacity required for the effective exercise of their powers and performance of their functions referred to in subsection 2. And the reason why I added is that if such assistance is requested by the MEC, is sometimes they don't want the assistance. They may not want
it. Take it out. I don't care if they don't want it or not. They've already shown themselves incompetent to do the job, so why would you allow them now to request? I mean, you know, they've not done the job, so, I mean, and the Constitution doesn't say they are asked for assistance. No. Since the MSC in accordance with da-da-da to fulfill his obligations under this Act. Direct the MSC to take the decision and such other steps the minister may deem necessary within a specified time period. Okay, we'll come back to if necessary. After having received the report referred to paragraph 8, or in the event that no response or no satisfactory response cooperation is received from the MSC. I'm not sure we must mix these two up. I think these two must be separate. Firstly, you must deal with any steps the minister may deem necessary. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you see, you put an and there as well, which is problematic. So I think the first thing is you try and assist. Secondly, the minister may direct take steps necessary within the steps, then after that, it's direct the MSC to take a decision. So you can, and it's an or between them. So you can do one or the other. If it's not necessary to have more steps, then you just skip that one and you do the next one. So split that one.
Chair, could I perhaps propose something which might simplify this? In 7, before taking such a decision in subsection 4, the minister must request the MEC to provide a report. They maybe have another clause, 7A or the 8, which begins, after having received the report referred to in paragraph A, or in subparagraph 7, or in the event that no response or no satisfactory response or cooperation is received from the MEC, the minister must or may, and then A, request the MEC, inform the applicant, assist the MEC in accordance with 125.3, direct the MEC to take, and so on.
So that's fine, you can do that, but still split the steps and the decision.
Correct.
Okay. So now that seems to make a bit more sense because then it flows from that.
Yeah.
Except that
and
when
it may be
say
put where appropriate in the SHPO.
The only thing you must do is where it says satisfactory response or cooperation between from the MSC, I think you must just add the words there within the specified time period. Or, So. Otherwise, that could be a gap there. But you can still, I mean, that you've now suggested you put a top, which is fine. On top, you say, in the event of da da da. And just add there within that time frame. And then you put all these other ones, what can be done.
Yeah.
Okay, and then when the MEC fails to take, you left out two there, to take the decision within a specified time period, complaint C of subsection 7. Minister must take that action, that decision, must take the decision. She doesn't take a decision, does she? Processes the application, doesn't she?
No, the officials process the application, but the MEC must take the decision.
The minister?
The minister.
Okay, so add at the end there, within a reasonable period of time. Because now you're outside the time.
Yes, correct.
The minister must simultaneously with the submission of the annual report contemplated that of the Public Finance Act submit a report to Parliament setting out the DR. That's the details. Then every year we'll see how many times this power has been exercised. All right, I now think it looks like a nice thing. There's some technical things that have to be changed. But it looks like it's coming together. It's the kind of clause that we've been asking. Any comments, any additions, changes? Happy? Happy. All right. Let me just go through my notes here quickly, as expeditiously as possible, whether or not the MEC regards. Preemptive. What did I say? Preemptive. Preemptive what? Hey, I make these notes. I don't have a clue why I don't make them.
I think the with expeditious and so on are covered by the insertion within a reasonable time period.
I put in the beginning of section 4, I put check if it should be preemptive. Preemptive. Why would I say preemptive? No. I think the clause looks fine. So, all right. All my notes are covered there. All right. 7. 7 is nothing. 8. There was changes previously. Add amendment read 24.2 C, D, and E. I put here under this clause at 8, I put add amendment read 24(2)(c), (d), and (e). What's that?
Yeah, I think we added it in on page 31, where we've provided under 49A.
31. Oh.
Yeah, 31.
Oh, yeah.
We've added it at the end in terms of the commences or continues with an activity in terms of section 24(2).
Oh, CPN, there it is. Yeah. Page 31, commences or continues with an activity in terms of 24(CDE) unless he or she complies with the procedures, criteria, or conditions specified by the minister or MSC as provided for in the regulation made under section 24(BDB). You have to say that made under. Don't we have just one regulation clause now?
Well, no, unfortunately. What we do for the general regulations is Richards 44. But in Chapter 5, we've got specific areas of regulations. We have actually, I don't know whether you want to jump to that part, but in the document that is really a draft portfolio committee resolution that you asked for. There are two parts to that resolution that we have not included in that text. We wanted to first put it to the committee. But the one part deals with the bringing into effect, what would need to be done in order to bring this Amendment Act into effect. So there are a list of guidelines and regulations that would need to be developed in order to bring this into effect. So that's the one part. And the other part was the short and long-term step that you requested us to consider, which is in essence saying that this is a step in the process of the committee's review of the longer-term environmental management system.
You say that's not in the resolution.
We haven't put it there.
Pending
discussion.
No, put it in there.
Okay.
All right. So you're happy that that's covered? That it should be. Where was that?
Yeah. The question
it
was
should be made under
24,
yeah, okay.
Under chapter 5.
No, if it's not in one clause, then we must do it like that.
Okay.
Only if it's just clause on one clause. Okay. So. Anyway, let me just tick we've done this on 31. Any comment on 31? We've covered that one now, okay? Now come back to page 15 or 16. That seems to be all fine. Page. Okay, here were some changes here. Section 9. Investigate, evaluate, and assess the impact of the activity on the environment, semicolon, remedy any adverse effects of the activity on the environment, cease, modify, control any act, activity, process, or mission causing pollution, contain or prevent the movement of pollution or degradation of the environment, and or there, eliminate any source of pollution or degradation, and it mustn't be there, could be. Goes on, compile a report. So what have you done? You have now here, in the beginning of 24G, given the minister, or let's say the competent authority, may direct to do the following stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Chair.
So this is after long request.
Yes. this was at the committee's request. Where these powers, broader powers to investigate, remedy, cease, modify or control, contain are powers which the minister or the MEC or the Minister of Mineral Resources now has. So should they, it's not just a refuse or issue thing. But it's easier to follow chair if you go to page 38 of the Act, the blue and the yellow. The blue and the yellow, if you go to the page 38 of the Act, and the blue are the additional, the additions that after our last meeting is now reflected.
Hey, the person decided to put blue in.
Yeah, maybe we should use pink.
Hey, use something green. That's right, and those are yellow there.
The yellow is the text which the committee has already considered, but these additions need to be considered in the whole, if you want.
And you're happy that those are going to make things more flexible for the minister than there? Okay.
Yes, correct. These are the powers.
Anyone want to comment on those powers? We had long discussions on this. Remember, we felt that when the minister does, we just said she can seize the activity. But what happens when there's continuous pollution still taking place, for example? We didn't give the minister any powers to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we're doing now is, Alf and them have now given a whole lot of things that minister can do to make it more flexible for them to deal with that before the report then is compiled. Okay?
And then
I imagine them as being or between 6 and 7, where the new stuff end and the report
or.
Okay. That looks good. Well done, guys.
It continues. So the logic of the section is on application by the minister may, and then may direct the applicant to, then the compiling of the report, then the consideration of the report where you refuse issue, or alternatively, and this is what we've added, direct the applicant to provide further information, and then it goes on to what happens if you recall the committee asked the question, what happens if the minister if there's damage already and it's only about refusing issuing or directing to provide further information, then it's about rehabilitating, and so the minister's got the power to then direct to rehabilitate. And then if you recall, the committee then said, well, what happens if this applicant didn't comply, and it was basically not complying with the prescripts of the law, then you asked us to insert something to where the minister must take the non-compliance into account when making this consideration. And then it deals with the issue of the deferral of the decision for the National Prosecuting Authority. So dealing with the problem where the National Prosecuting Authority, if this application process is in process, they're not willing to prosecute. So giving the minister the power to defer pending the National Prosecuting Authority's investigation and prosecution and so on. So that's the how we try to capture all the comments by the committee in context.
And I think you have done an excellent job in capturing all our issues. All right. So what we've got now in 24. We've got, remember this is the case where someone has started something where they didn't have permission for it. And we're now giving the minister the powers, what they do, then to deal with. Now in the past, they just basically assumed that there's going to be permission given. and they'll all be hunky-dory. Now, what we've done is created a much more structured and nuanced clause to deal with, and flexibility for the department to be able to deal with different situations. So up front, we've given minister power now under those first yellow things. We've given, remember it was previously receipt and report. So we've now given other powers to investigate, to further remedy, to seize, modify, control any act, etc., etc. So there's much more flexibility up front. Then you get the report, and then sub 2 deals with what happens when you get the report. So now you've dealt stuff, now you get the report. Now you can refuse to issue the authorization, you can issue it, or you can ask them to do certain stuff to get it up to certain standards. And then when you exercise that power now, they also have the power to rehabilitate or take any other steps. The ministers can expect that. Also then they put the clause in, what happens if they don't do any of those things but they're still insisting? Then you can take into consideration the fact that they didn't do it to refuse or to whatever. And then the seventh one is the one that where you can defer. Remember it was previously all under where you can defer the decision pending the... So it looks like a much more flexible clause. I suppose we must all go and read it a bit more to feel comfortable with it, but it does seem it now gives some room to deal with those people that don't do the things properly. Any comments, any changes, any issues you want to raise? In my notes, they've covered all the different issues. 10, there's no changes. 11, there's no changes. My notes, 10, 11, oh, I have got a on 11, adopted in the prescribed manner. Alright, so 11 looks fine. 12, there was no changes. 13, there was no changes. 14, okay, here was also a big discussion. Looks like reg, including the procedure to be followed.
Chair, I think the big problem that we had to that the comment that the committee made is that this is an emergency and not complete information may be available. So on page 24, sub-clause 5, really in an emergency, the person may not have complete information. But just the knowledge that if they don't do something, this river could flood and kill hundreds of people, or so on and so forth. So it's really to provide the flexibility around, you know, the fact that during emergencies, you know, not the complete information.
Should there be a comma between at least and where? Comes down at least.
Yeah, you're right. That's correct.
Right, so then the others are...
And then we had to change because the in E and F, the previous text said severity of the impact. And the a priori, it's impossible to know what the severity would be. But we talked about the risk of... It's the same thing as that what happens where this is about risk managing... or managing the risk of a disaster in a preventative way. So that's where the...
I've got two other notes here that That seems fine. Also, I've got two other notes here that we must add this under the regs and we must add it as a defense. Did you guys do that?
Yeah, on page 28, AD.
Related to machines that follows when oral requests are made. Yeah, okay, lovely. So that's why, that's that regulation thing. Because remember there we wanted to know telephone number exactly where people must actually be able to phone someone. And then the defense.
It's included on page 32.
32.
Subsection 2. It is a defense to a charge in terms of...
Subsection 1A. 1A being commenced with an activity in contravention of section 24F. Does this fall under 24F?
24F.
No, it doesn't. Separate clause, 30A.
Yeah, it's prohibitions. 24F refers to prohibitions relating to the commencement or continuation of listed activities.
Sorry? 24F?
24F is prohibitions relating to the commencement or continuation of listed activities.
Yeah, but now look here, when you look at 30A, the first words say notwithstanding 24F1.
Yeah.
So it's notwithstanding 24F1. So this is now applicable, therefore 24F1 is not applicable to this.
Yes, but we're raising this in as a defense.
Yeah.
So isn't it a defense in terms?
A says in contravention of 24F1, then 30A says notwithstanding 24F1.
Correct.
So that means that you now have created a whole new procedure in 30A, which doesn't include F1, and therefore if you want to use 30A as a defense, you probably have to create it separately.
But subsection 2, well, maybe subsection 2 says it's a defense to a charge in terms of the 24F to show that the activity was commenced or continued in response to an emergency or disaster so as to protect human life, property, or the environment, provided that, and then A and B. So... maybe we need to insert was commenced or continued in response to an emergency or disaster referred to in 30A.
Did we create an offence here in... did we create an offence for 30A?
No. The offence is the offence is commencement or continuing an activity in terms of 24F. So maybe we need to refer to...
You guys are going to check if that is right.
Okay.
But my problem is if you say notwithstanding 24F,
mm-hmm.
then as I understand it, that excludes it. So then you can't then later claw it back and say, but if you've done something, because you've now said notwithstanding 24F, all these things will apply.
Mm.
So you're going to have to probably then create an offense to this. So if,
okay,
it fall, if it doesn't fall under 24F, then you're going to have to create something else for 30A.
Yeah, and but it's, remember, it's got to apply to 30 as well. It's not only 30A.
Fine, 30 as well.
30 and 30A.
If you guys just need to check this with... What page is this now? In the notes. It was here somewhere. Oh, yesterday, yeah. NB.
Yeah, Che, my sense is we'll check it, and it might be that we would draw some linkages to 30 and 30A.
30A, check if a fence for 30A is needed or exists. If is a fence, then create. What is it? Section.
Forty-nine A.
Okay. So you'll just check that for us. All right. That then covers all my notes. It was the regs. It was the defense, and then that clause there. Any comments? Any issues to raise on the 30A? No? All right, then we go to include a possibility of the non-offense, i.e. Terrible, you can't read your notes. Your next amendment is 15, which, on reasonable grounds, being utilized in a manner that is likely to cause significant pollution, impact, or degradation of the environment. What is this?
It's your truck going down the hill with no brakes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, I wrote here, include possibility re non-offense, i.e. reassurance damage is likely to... Did we discuss civil action to create the civil damages?
You'll see on page 26, 26 where we included what we thought you had indicated, because remember the power to seize is given in terms of reasonable suspicion that a crime's been committed. So now we've added that you can also seize that vehicle which on reasonable grounds is being utilized in a manner that is likely to cause significant pollution, impact, or degradation. So it may be that an offense isn't reasonably being committed, but because of whatever's happening on the vehicle, that there is reasonable suspicion or reasonable grounds that it will cause significant pollution.
No, I've got that. I'm just thinking, what is this damages thing I've written down? All right, well, let's flag. I'll come back to that. 16, any comments under 15? 16, 17, 18, 19, no changes. 20? There's a change here.
We've just indicated there, it's that issue about approaching the National Prosecuting Authority to take a matter to the High Court rather than to the Magistrates Court. And so we just reworded that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a much better way of doing it. Much better way of doing it. Okay. Got a change in 21. I don't have a note. What is
Yeah, we've discussed that, Chair. That's the
oral.
Oh,
yeah,
oral,
yeah, yeah. You've had it. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. That's right. I've already ticked it. Then 22. changes here. It's the same as we had. 23, 24, 25. So you've got all these now here. You've got more actually. You only had up to. Oh no, you had till up to N. Got a lot of offenses here. So B is new, eh? We've already dealt with D. What is B?
Yeah, D is...
number B.
Number B is the Norman standard, which links to 2410 and 242D in particular.
Okay.
So
that's, we've got no problems with that. You've added, what you've added there is contemplated in section 24, because previously it was just norms and standards. Now you added the words contemplated in section 24 to ICA. Yeah, okay. All right, that's fine. Then D is fine. And then the rest is all the same you had last time. The only thing you'll have to look at is this defense here. Okay, but you look at that with those offenses. Penalties, all the same. 26, all the same. 26, oh yes, a lot of new stuff. Yeah. 26, there's a new thing there. What is that?
Yes, sir, maybe I must explain. When I've done the National Environmental Management Bill on which deal with the mining amendments, I realized that we have changed the expression for Minister of Minerals and Energy, the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry, but we haven't changed the expression for the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, so I've just added that.
Okay.
And then,
any problems with that? No? Fine.
Because we have moved the offences to one section in the Act, I had to move do a consequential amendment in Schedule 3. Otherwise, Section 34, the powers that the Minister have under Section 34 wouldn't have applied if we do not make that correction as well. That is a consequential. And then because we insert a couple of new sections, we have to amend the table of the Principal Act as well.
Okay. So those are all technical consequential amendments because of the Act in the schedules, all 26, 27, 28. And then now change the 28 to a 29 there. All right, before we get to 29, let's quickly do the resolution. What do you say there? The Portfolio Committee on Water and Environment considered the subject and decided as follows. Mindful of the urgent need for development and in order to facilitate selection and use of other environmental and spatial tools, including those instruments developed by other parties, amendments have been made that will have the following effect. A new clause 4 is inserted, which will promote or facilitate integrated environmentally sustainable and sound management considerations of business practice, technology and decision making. The Minister will be able to provide guidelines on development content use of consider such and endorse and approve them. Specified activities in certain geographical areas based on environmental attributes and specified in adopted spatial tools or environment may be excluded from the requirement to obtain an authorization. Listed activities may be excluded from the requirement to obtain environment as long as they comply with normal standards. Listed activities based on adopted environmental management instruments may be excluded from the requirement to obtain and in order to address the concern that MSCs in some instances fail to take decision on the issue of environmental regulations in a precise time frame due to the lack of capacity or for other reasons, an amendment has been introduced to give the Minister responsible for environmental affairs the power to take decisions under certain circumstances. When considering for 6D, the portfolio for water environment was mindful of sections 125 of the Constitution, which provides the Premier, together with other members, with the power to implement all national and international except with a constitution or an underline that and make it bold, except where the constitution provides. Otherwise, the intention of this means there to make provision for this exceptional circumstance in the instance where either unreasonable due to profession fails to make a decision on the precise. The failure was also mindful of section which obliges this I think you must just add, that's all good, I think you must just add something there to say the minister, the committee drafted quite an elaborate clause to deal with this matter because it realized this is an instance where a power could potentially be taken away from a competent authority and therefore wanted to make sure that everything possible was done to meet whatever requirements had been before the power was taken away. You know, something like that, just to give a little description, okay? Mindful of the complaints received from the public that Section 24 Rectification of Information is abused, that applicants proceed with legal and assembly budget, experience a lack of legal prosecution once the person applied for or is received by committees made substantive changes to the section. Minister by Minister of given substantive powers to issue directives for a variety of reasons. That Minister of Finance being increased considerably. The requirements for the report to be compiled by the applicant have been tightened. The section is amended to make it clear that criminal power may still be instituted despite the fact that a person has applied for that. The amendment also allows Minister to defer decision until such time the criminal investigation has been concluded. In the public hearings, an issue was raised, an emergency referred to in Section 24 emergency incident, and the link to the requirement to obtain an alarm were not clear. There was also a need to address activities that need to commence in disaster situations where the time does not allow for normal decisions or applications to allow. A new Section 38 has been introduced to address emergency disaster. It is clear distinguished from emergency dealt with there. Clause 20, the new subsection 2 that have been inserted to serve as a reminder to the authorities that the High Court not found a limitation relating to things set by this Act, that in cases where the common authority is more than and a person has been instituted criminal proceedings. Okay. And then you wanted to add two more things you said. The one was...
Yeah, Chair, we've got language around... what list, you've got that list there, it's where guidelines and regulations need to be put in place in order to actually give effect to these amendments, so under which clauses, and then Section 7, which really talks to the fact that this amendment is part of the committee's long-term program or objective to consider a comprehensive review of the entire environmental management system for the country. So it's just one step in a process. And it may be that the committee would propose to Parliament more comprehensive either amendments or even the consideration of a new one.
That list that you add, you must then link it back to Section 29, eh?
Section 29.
That those things can all be completed within 6 months.
Correct.
So that we...
So we've got guidelines in terms of Section 23A, regulations in terms of 24.5 small b capital A, regulations in terms of Section 24.5 b capital B, and the guidelines in terms of Section regulations in terms of Section 44.1 a capital B. Then we have Section 44AC, the regulations related to the 24G the new rectification of thing in terms of and the determination of the administrative fines, and then the development of regulations relating to the oral requests in terms of 30A, and guidelines for adopting norms and standards in terms of section 10 of the Act.
Now that's fine. All I want you to do is then link it and say we will have 6 months with which
to do
and we are happy that we can do it.
Okay.
Okay.
So that 6 months may be a bit of a problem.
That's why you must now come.
That's why you raised this issue.
That's why I'm raising it.
Okay.
That's exactly why I'm raising it. Okay. But the problem is once we've got it in the Act, the only way we can change it then is to come amend the Act if you don't make 6 months and that there's not... So we must have clarity on that, okay? Why didn't we say at the end in terms of the Section 80 or 81 of the Constitution? In Section 29, I thought we said it will come into effect 6 months on the date of the publication of the Act in Gazette in terms of Section so-and-so of the Constitution. Huh?
It's an oversight, Chair.
No, you know, I think it's just to give clarity because people may not know then 6 months from what are we referring to? Publication and publication by who? The president that publishes it in the Gazette. So we just make that clear, okay? All right, look, I think this is really good work done. It's excellent, in fact. There's just a lot of technical things that have to fix up. So I think what I'm going to say to members, I suggested originally that we now go and get mandates on the bill, but I think there are too many technical things still. So I think it will be unfair for you to go to your party and then later on there's a lot of technical things that have changed again and so on. So what I'm going to suggest is that on the 16th of April when we come back, then we'll just look at all these technical amendments and so on, and then we'll say, okay, the next meeting, whatever date we put down for it, that'll be the date. Now we'll give everyone a chance, at least there'll be one caucus in between, so you can go to your caucus and so on, okay? So we'll first get the final, all these technical amendments. I think the principles are now sorted out, and I'm really happy with where we are. I really have to thank you, Advocate Garlop, and of course, Mr. Walls and the rest of the department for how we've gone so far. I think also it's important for you to engage with your minister now that we close to finality, okay? Obviously, when we refer the bill to everyone, we'll still go back, so you still have that time, but I think we need to do that, okay? Everyone happy with that? So the 16th, then we'll look at the last lot of technical stuff and then just make sure it's all done, okay? Thank you very much. Thank you very much to the department. We'll see you on the 16th. Quick 5-minute break. Go to small dark places and come back and we'll start.